Ever feel like those textbook economic models? You know the ones, they don't quite line up with how things actually work.
Yeah, like trying to make sense of the stock market using just like basic algebra or something.
Exactly. And that's exactly what we're diving into today. We're tackling Uncertainty in Economics by Christian Mueller-Kateman.
And let me tell you, he doesn't pull any punches.
No, he does not. He basically calls out the entire field for clinging to this fantasy of perfect prediction.
Yeah, he calls it choosing the blue pill, basically. Like, you can stay comfortable with those neat little models.
Or you can take the red pill and face the messy reality of uncertainty.
Exactly. And I think for a lot of people who actually work in economics or finance, any field that deals with human behavior, there's this matrix moment.
Oh, tell me more about that. What do you mean by matrix moment?
It's like you suddenly realize that all those elegant theories you've been studying, they don't quite capture the sheer unpredictability of, well, people.
It's like trying to navigate a busy city using just a map from like 50 years ago.
Yeah, like sure, the basic layout might be the same, but there are going to be a whole lot of surprises along the way. And Mueller-Kateman, he wants us to really confront those surprises head on.
So, how does he want us to rethink the way we approach knowledge and prediction? Because he lays out this whole spectrum,
He
right?
does. He starts with determinism, which is basically the idea that everything is predictable. You know, like if you do X, then Y will always happen.
Okay, I can see how that might be tempting to assume, especially in economics, if we can just find the right formula.
Right. But Mueller-Kateman argues that most economic situations are far too complex for that.
Yeah.
So he moves us into the realm of risk next.
Risk, meaning we know the probabilities, like flipping a coin, right?
Yeah, exactly. We might not know the exact outcome, but we know the odds. And this is where a lot of economics operates, right? Calculating risk, assessing probabilities.
Trying to figure out those economic coin tosses.
Precisely. But here's the catch. Mueller-Kateman argues that true uncertainty is far more prevalent than we'd like to admit.
You mean situations where we don't even know all the possible outcomes, let alone their probabilities?
Exactly. It's like the difference between playing poker, where you know all the cards, and navigating a completely uncharted territory.
Where something totally unexpected could pop up at any moment. So, how do we even begin to make sense of that kind of uncertainty? Because one of Mueller-Kateman's most intriguing points is that humans, the ones actually driving all this economic activity, we aren't exactly predictable machines. He even calls this out as his main assumption at the beginning of the book.
Right, and it's a big one. He basically says you can't perfectly emulate a human being.
You can't build a model or an algorithm that will perfectly predict what a person will do because.
Because we're messy, emotional, often irrational beings. We change our minds. We react to incomplete information.
And we're influenced by things like social pressure, gut feelings, all those messy human elements that don't fit into a neat equation.
Exactly. And that's where traditional economics often misses the mark. By trying to force human behavior into those neat, predictable models.
They kind of miss the point of what makes economics so complex.
And so fascinating.
So it's like those models, they're always playing catch up with the messy reality of human behavior.
And it's not just individual behavior either. Mueller-Kateman talks about how entire markets can get caught in these loops of prediction and reaction. Like everyone's reacting to everyone else's expectations, and it creates this whole other layer of complexity.
So it's like a hall of mirrors where the reflections end up influencing the very thing being reflected.
Exactly. He calls it transformativity, this idea that economists themselves, just by studying and making predictions about the economy, can actually change how it behaves.
Oh, wow, that's trippy. So in a way, we're kind of like those physicists trying to study subatomic particles, that the act of observing the system inevitably changes it.
It's a bit like that, yeah. And this is where I think the whole debate about behavioral economics gets really interesting.
Because the traditional critique is that behavioral economics just explains away anything that doesn't fit the model as irrational, right?
Exactly. But Mueller-Kateman flips that on its head, and this is where things get really juicy. He argues that in a world of genuine uncertainty, the truly irrational thing is to cling to those old models as if they were like sacred texts.
So he's saying clinging to the model is actually the irrational behavior, not the deviations from it.
I like it. We're so used to thinking of rationality as this cold, calculating thing, but maybe in a world this complex.
Maybe we need to redefine what rationality even means. And Mueller-Kateman suggests that a lot of those things we traditionally label as irrational, those gut feelings, those emotional responses, those leaps of faith. They might actually be essential survival tools for navigating uncertainty.
Precisely. Think about it. Our brains evolved to deal with a world of constant change, of incomplete information, of predators lurking in the bushes.
So it makes sense that we develop these mental shortcuts, these heuristics, these gut instincts to help us make quick decisions when we don't have all the facts.
And maybe, just maybe, those instincts are telling us something valuable about the economy, some of those neat models miss.
Which reminds me of that fascinating case study Miller Kademan discusses, Elliot, the man who had that brain injury.
Oh yeah, Elliot, the guy who aced every cognitive test but couldn't make even the simplest decisions in his own life.
Because he lost the ability to process emotions. So even though he could logically analyze every possible outcome, he couldn't actually feel his way to a decision.
It's like he was stuck in analysis paralysis because he couldn't tap into that intuitive sense of what felt right. And I think that's such a powerful illustration of how essential that blend of logic and emotion, of head and heart, really is for making decisions in an uncertain world.
Absolutely. It's like we're not just brains in jars. We're these complex feeling creatures, and those feelings play a vital role in how we navigate uncertainty.
And when it comes to economics, that means we have to start paying attention to all those messy human elements we've traditionally tried to ignore. Things like trust, for example.
Oh, yeah. Miller Kademan has some really mind-bending things to say about trust. Like that example he gives, in a perfectly efficient market with only one trader, the price of an asset is undefined.
Right. Because value isn't this objective thing that just exists out there in the world. It's something we create through our interactions, through our shared beliefs.
It's like, if I'm the only one who thinks this old shoe is worth $1 million, well, it's not actually worth $1 million. But if I can convince enough other people that it is,
then suddenly it is, or at least it is, until that belief system collapses.
Which kind of gets to the heart of what money really is, right? Because as Miller Kademan points out, it's not about the gold or the paper itself.
It's about the shared belief system that gives that gold or paper value.
Which means that inflation, at its core, is a crisis of trust.
Exactly. It's a loss of faith in the system, a sense that those pieces of paper we're all carrying around might not be worth what we thought they were.
And that brings us, of course, to John Maynard Keynes.
Keynes. The economic giant who, according to Miller Kademan, actually lost some pretty major battles when it came to shaping the global economic order.
Yeah, Miller Kademan points to those debates over war reparations after World War I, the whole Bretton Woods thing, even the handling of the Greek debt crisis more recently. All instances where Keynes's ideas, which were pretty radical for their time, ended up getting
sidelined in favor of more traditional approaches. But here's the thing. Miller Kademan also argues that even though Keynes might have lost those specific battles,
his core insight about the role of government, especially in times of uncertainty, is more relevant now than ever.
100%. Because Keynes understood that markets aren't this magical, self-regulating force. They're prone to panics, to crashes, to these moments where uncertainty takes over and everyone just starts freaking out.
And in those moments, he argued, governments have a responsibility to step in.
Not to control the market, but to provide some stability, to restore some confidence, to basically say, hey, we got this. He called for a kind of Keynesian neoclassical symbiosis.
So it's not about abandoning markets altogether. It's about recognizing that they need some guardrails, especially when things get hairy.
And Miller Kademan makes this incredibly compelling case that those guardrails are even more important in today's world because our economies are so interconnected.
Like, what happens in one corner of the world can ripple out and affect everyone else in a matter of hours. So we need ways to manage that uncertainty to prevent those ripples from becoming tsunamis.
Absolutely. And he uses this powerful example from the 2008 financial crisis.
Oh, yeah. Tell me more about that.
He quotes this U.S. congressman who was there in the thick of it, describing how the entire global financial system was basically hours away from complete meltdown. And the only thing that averted total disaster was swift government action to shore up the banks, to reassure investors, to basically project a sense of calm amidst the chaos.
Wow. So it was a moment where those traditional economic models, the ones that said, let the market sort itself out, they completely failed.
They did.
Yeah.
And it was human intervention driven by a deep understanding of psychology and a willingness to act decisively in the face of uncertainty that saved the day, which I think perfectly encapsulates the main message of Miller Kademan's book.
So where do we go from here? If we accept that uncertainty is you know, not just some anomaly, but the norm, how do we even begin to rebuild our economic systems? Because it feels like so much of it is built on this idea that we can predict, control, optimize.
Yeah, and, you know, Miller Cavan actually has some really interesting things to say about institutions in this context.
Institutions? You mean like governments, banks, that sort of thing?
Well, those too, but he takes a broader view. Institutions, for him, are any kind of structure, any set of rules or norms that help us manage uncertainty.
Okay, so like legal systems would be an institution, or even something like, I don't know, social etiquette.
Exactly. They all exist to create some sense of order, some predictability in a world that's inherently unpredictable. Think about it. Insurance markets, they're all about managing risk.
So it's like, we can't eliminate uncertainty, but we can create these systems, these institutions, to kind of...
So soften the blow, to create a safety net.
And he gives those great historical examples in the book, right? Like those medieval guilds. I remember thinking, those always seemed so restrictive, but...
But in a world without consumer protection laws, without standardized quality control, those guilds actually provided a valuable service.
They reduced uncertainty for both buyers and sellers, which allowed for more trade, more economic activity.
Precisely. It's like they weren't perfect, but they were a way of dealing with the uncertainty of the time.
It makes you wonder, though, if some of the anxiety we feel today, economically speaking, comes from the fact that our institutions haven't quite caught up to the complexities of the 21st century.
It's a really interesting thought. And Miller Cavan does suggest that some of the traditional institutions that used to provide stability, things like strong unions, for example, have weakened in recent decades.
Which might explain why so many people feel like the economy is this unpredictable force that's completely out of their control.
Exactly. And so the question becomes, what are the new institutions, the new systems that we need to build for this era of heightened uncertainty? And Miller Cavan doesn't pretend to have all the answers.
But he does offer some guiding principles, right? Like, he emphasizes the importance of being adaptable, of being willing to experiment, to learn from our mistakes.
Exactly. Because the one thing we know for sure about the future is that it's going to be uncertain. So we need systems that are flexible enough to respond to whatever comes our way. And that means letting go of this idea that we can predict and control everything and embracing a bit more. Humility, maybe?
Yeah, it's like that old saying, the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. And in economics, they almost always do. But I think that's also what makes this whole field so fascinating.
It is, because ultimately it's about us. It's about understanding how we as humans make decisions, navigate uncertainty, and try to create some sense of order in a world that often feels chaotic.
Well, on that note, I think we've given our listeners a lot to chew on today, a whole new way of looking at economics, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And hopefully a new appreciation for the role that uncertainty plays in all aspects of our lives.
So the next time you hear someone talking about perfect markets or rational actors, remember,
the real world is far messier, far more interesting, and ultimately driven by human beings grappling with the unknown, just like all of us.
And that wraps up this deep dive into uncertainty and economics. We'll catch you next time.